Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
House at one point in time before the arrival of Wood and the Soto deal, Cruz in the draft at number two overall last year, was vying for the top spot in the system against Cade Cavalli, who we also caught up with, 25-year-old power right-hander, former first-round pick out of Oklahoma. He got to the big leagues, made one start at the end of 2022, punched out six in 4 1/3 innings, and we haven't seen him since because he needed Tommy John. Remember, it was an electric start in spring training, I think against the Mets, if I remember. He was shoving last year, about a year ago at this time, about to make the rotation, and then he got shut down, and it turns out he needed TJ. Well, he is battling his way back, and we talked to him about his recovery.
Everything's feeling great. Arms responding well after bullpens, normal soreness, and waking up feeling good. So that's a positive right there. Just key is health and not pushing it too hard, which is something good because I've had the staff around me be able to tell me to calm it down at times. And so it's all – bullpen's been great. Body's feeling good. Mind's great. And we're shooting for, like, mid-May – get out, get in games, and then hopefully be back in like later part of June. So that's our goal right now. And if we can just keep moving how it's going right now, it's going to be great. So that's where we're at.
What's the more difficult part for you? Is it the like not doing too much, or just the right now such an exciting time, like watching other guys do it? What's harder?
I mean, they're both hard, you know, as a competitor and as someone who loves this game, it's just what I want to do. And whenever you can't do it to your full capability right now, that can be difficult at times. So it's just about preparing the mind and the body for it and knowing that it's coming at some point. So I'm fully aware that we're going to be able to get to that point. So right now it's just take it day by day. Trust the plan, trust the process, and attack it that way.
Is the timeline laid out for you pretty well? And you gave us, like, the benchmarks, but I mean, like, knowing I'll start here and then they'll rehab me a couple. Or is that all to be determined? Like, how does that actually work between now and hopefully June, July when you're chucking in the bigs?
You know, a lot of people have been through this process a ton. It's just become part of our game, so they have it down to a science of what you're going to be throwing pitch-wise on this date in that bullpen. And, you know, it's very specific. So it's been great to have that plan laid out. I have it in a planner. They have it in a planner. And, you know, our staff's great. They've handled a ton of guys that went through this. And also Dr. Meister, he has a full plan. So it's kind of working together. And there are specific dates of what I can do. So, like, last week, you know, it was my first bullpen being able to throw changeups on the mound. That was all written in the plan. And it was 5 to 8, and of course I threw 8 because you know I got to get that work in. But it's good having that. Just it's very methodical and written out, very specific. So it's good having that.
And now you're seeing the finish line. Like, it's got to be now that you get those juices flowing a little bit, because at one point 12 months seems like a long time. Here we are.
Yes, exactly. post-surgery, it feels like it's going to be centuries until I'm at this day. And then I get here, and after really taking it day by day, and it's something that helped me mentally. You look up, and it's like, where did that 11 and a half months go? You know, it came quick, which is awesome. So hopefully the next 3 months, I can get a lot of work in, and then I'm looking up, and we're back in D.C. helping the club win some ball games. So that'd be great.
Kid Cavalli of the Nats, this could be a bad question, but I'm assuming, like, you're not throwing. There's not a whole lot of, like, working you can do in terms of tweaking pitches or anything like that that you would normally be doing. Mm-hmm. Are you able just, like, analytically looking at stuff or even film study? Like, were you able to do anything while you're rehabbing?
Question. No, that's a great question because, right, I'm not throwing curveballs. I'm not throwing sliders, but I was able to throw a changeup. And, you know, whenever you're not at full intent, the numbers analytically might not match up to what your body's really going to be doing. So right now, I'm able to really focus on building the foundation of how my lower half's going to move, how I'm going to land at foot strike. Those little details matter right now. And in order to clean those up and get the energy going to the right areas, it takes not at your full intent. So it's really been a good process to be able to build the foundation, build the mechanics back up, get it clean. And then once we get a little further down the road where I'm almost full intent in these bullpens, then we're going to start being able to tweak finger position, all this stuff. Nice. And I'm excited for that. But, you know, I'm also excited for the moment right now of getting all this cleaned up. So,
last thing, did you have to retire during the rehab? I don't know if you were able to cut hair with the arm.
Yes, I think I'm going to retire from that
forever.
For a little while.
No more Cades cuts.
No more Cavs cuts. I know, it's a sad thing, but after the career is over, we'll get right back into cutting, maybe.
They had a barber in, I don't know if you see her now, but they had a barber in here the other day. Mm-hmm. You kind of look over there like...
I do, I miss it
I do what
bit.
You do, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I talked to him about it a little bit, because he was like, you cut your own hair, which I do. It's a lot easier on myself, other than somebody sitting here and then having that angle on the wrist.
Yeah.
It's wild that it comes into play, but it was something that we decided on that we should probably in that
short-term retirement.
Yes,
appreciate
exactly.
You, man.
Yeah, of course.
Cavalli's just an awesome guy. I mean, he couldn't have been more friendly and personable and chatty in the clubhouse. You and I, even when we were talking to some other players, he would come over and engage. Just a really good dude.
Yeah, excited to see what he can do this year. Like you mentioned, the whole clubhouse is great, but talking with Cavalli, and he's over there with Cole Henry, we're talking some college football with those guys. Excited to see what Cavalli can do, because if you look at the organization, the top-end prospects are all hitters. There really aren't many top-end difference-maker-type prospects that you look at and say, these guys can be a cornerstone piece that are pitchers. Cavalli's it, honestly. So it's huge for the Nationals if this guy can come back healthy and be an impact starter. And who knows? I mean, if that's the case, then you're looking at a much better rotation, because right now you're looking at Gore and Gray. If Cavalli can be one of those guys, he doesn't have to be the ace. But if he can fit somewhere in there in the mix, at least then you've got three guys nailed down.
And there was another arm who was along those lines, quick moving, dominating in the minors, who we thought maybe could be a big league starter pretty soon, and that was Cole Henry, who you just referenced, who we also caught up with, and like Cade Cavalli, is on his way back from a pretty serious injury. He had thoracic outlet surgery last year, just like Strasburg. It has obviously ended Strauss's career. A lot of the pitchers who have this procedure don't ever have careers after that. But if you were younger, some have, and Cole Henry is trying to beat the odds. Is he going to be in the rotation again as they stretch him out? Will he be pitching out of the pen this year in the big leagues? We asked him that and many other things as we caught up with one of our Bustin' Loose baseball favorites, Cole Henry, the former second-round pick out of LSU.
Pretty good so far. Anytime I can get on the mound in a game is a blessing, and just happy to be, you know, able to throw and be around these guys and a lot of my friends, big league camp, which is really cool. Just trying to enjoy every second. But yeah, it's been really fun so far. I feel good. So hopefully we can stay up here as long as possible.
What's that recovery been like for you? It's a long road. I'm sure it's monotonous at times. What's it been like for you getting back?
You know, it's been up and down. Sometimes can be discouraging. And then some other days you feel like, wow, I don't even feel like I had surgery. So it's just kind of a up and down. You got to play it by ear every day, every week. And just... I'm trying new things every week, trying to make it just recover faster, feel better. You know, it's always just making adjustments and kind of just learning stuff on the fly, picking people's brains, just different things like that.
What's the mindset with something as serious as what you had with TOS? Like, now that you're back throwing this way, is it like, okay, I made it, I beat it kind of thing? Or is it always, like, there? Like, how do you feel about, like, just kind of keeping on the mound and that part of it being in the rear view?
Yeah, it definitely is, you know, a process of just getting on the mound and knowing, like, I am fine. I can throw the ball as hard as I can and still be okay the next day. After years of, you know, throwing the ball and then not really being able to throw for like 2 or 3 days. So it's just kind of like, you know, you always have that in the back of your mind. And then I think now it's just getting better and better each time I go out there. And like, especially on shorter rest, being up here, like, been on a little bit shorter of rest. So it's been weird trying to bounce back, but it's been fine. So just keeping that confidence in my arm and my health and, you know, knowing that everything's going to be okay and I'm going to be able to recover throughout the week has been good.
Now that you're back at this point, what's that balance like where you're grinding to try to get better and work on your craft versus I know I got to recover, I know I need that rest?
Yeah, it's definitely a balance. The human body's pretty, you know, durable. So, you know, you think that sometimes you don't need to push yourself and then you end up doing it and you end up feeling better than you would have if you didn't do anything. So for me, it's just kind of learning and learning from a couple of these guys that have been through, you know, big leagues, a full big league season and, you know, a few minor league seasons as well, like the whole time not getting hurt and stuff, just trying to pick their brains and kind of learn, you know, what do they do between each start and, you know, what kind of treatment do they get between each start and try to figure out what works best for you. And everybody's different, you know, so just trying to learn my body and what's best for me between each go around has been the biggest learning curve for me.
You are getting work right now, as a lot of guys are, just kind of inning two or two at a time as a reliever. And do you still ultimately want to stretch back out, get a chance to start being the rotation? Do you care at all if you're a multi-inning guy who comes in and kind of maxes out? How do you feel?
I mean, I'm willing to do anything, honestly. You know, whatever gets me to the big leagues the fastest and keeps me there the longest, I'll do. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. I did a little bit of both last year, and I loved it. You know, it's just a different mindset for each one, but I really like the bullpen and I really like starting. So there's not one that I really prefer, but you know, I'll do anything. So
I thought he was coming out.
Who are some of the guys in the clubhouse that you pick the brain of, try and learn? You know, as you're trying to evolve your craft, who are some of the guys in here you're talking to learn?
I'd say these guys right here: Irv, Cavalli, Rutledge. You know, just the guys that I kind of came up with that are, you know, really good friends of mine, but also have been around the block a few times up here, and then some older guys too, but mostly the younger guys. And you know, just being able to ask them and see what their process is every week and kind of just watch them, you know, it's been cool.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, to your point, I mean, Henry no longer can be viewed as a fast mover or even a safe bet to be in the rotation for a long time to come. If that happens, huge bonus and awesome. Probably more likely you're just hoping you can get him to be kind of that Craig Stammen multi-inning reliever type and that he ends up being a contributor for a long time at the major league level, which is a shame because of where things were headed. But if he gets healthy and you know, if this year we kind of forget what happened because he makes a start every 5 days and he puts up good numbers in the minors, he can obviously change the conversation again.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Another potential helper in the rotation for years to come, who isn't necessarily a top-end prospect, but he's a former first-round pick. He can touch 97, 98 miles an hour. There's a lot of good that comes along with Jackson Rutledge, the 6-foot, 8-inch monster who shoved against the Braves last year, which came up in this conversation we had with him. I mean, he dominated the best team in the league, maybe, for six innings. A lot of people still feel like maybe more of a back-of-the-rotation starter if he puts it all together. The size, trying to repeat the delivery, you know, spraying the ball just a tad from time to time. But you and I saw him in the minors. He's deceptive. He holds the baseball pretty well. He pitches inside, occasionally hits guys. He's a tough at bat. He's not a comfortable guy to stand in against. This was Rutledge in the clubhouse in West Palm Beach.
Jackson, finding you here in West Palm at spring training. A little different than last year with some big league service time and some starts under your belt. Just how different does that make this experience?
Yeah, I don't know that it makes it a whole lot different. I'm still really working to go out every day and show my best. It definitely is a little bit of something in my back pocket to turn around and know that I can, you know, get out in the big leagues and have a little bit of confidence when I need it. And, you know, it just feels good to be down here and working.
How was that experience for you last year, getting up to the big leagues, making your debut, pitching well in a couple of games? How was that?
Yeah, it was incredible. Beating the Braves, that was something I'm going to remember forever, and certainly that first quality outing against the White Sox, and really just every time that I was able to pitch up there is a very memorable.
It seemed like going back to the end of the season, like two campaigns ago, you had that like nails playoff start for Fredericksburg, and then it kind of jump-started you into the offseason, and last year was really impressive in the minors. I mean, have you always kind of had the level of confidence maybe you have right now, or do you feel like something kind of clicked along the way that kind of got you to a point where you said, all right, let's get to the big leagues, I'm ready?
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, 2 years ago, that the playoff start, it was really about 2.5 years ago, sort of that mid part of the season. I think before that, during that season, I had about a 15 ERA, and after that, I had about a 2.5 or something like that.
Preferred the 2.5 or?
Yeah, that one, we like those. But for me, it was kind of like almost changing the mindset of I was – working so hard and trying so hard to produce results, but every time I went out there, it was just like, all right, try and relax as much as I can. For me, that didn't really work. I kind of flipped it from trying to relax to going out and, you know, just being full steam, being, you know, pretty much as much of a psycho as I could be on the mound, getting completely amped up for every game. And when I started to do that, the focus kind of narrowed and things got easier, and I felt more in control whenever I started to change that sort of mental side of it.
Was it just really the mental side? Were there any physical changes in delivery or pitches or what? Just mental side mainly?
I'd say that was the big thing. There certainly were plenty of mechanical changes, and there still are. Still constantly working on that, and I will be working on that for the rest of my career. But I'd say for the most part, it was really just having the mindset of just bulldog, go out and, you know, fist fight the guy in the batter's box, metaphorically. Sure. That was kind of what really helped click for me.
Or if he charges the mound literally.
Yeah, maybe literally, yeah.
I don't think anyone's charging the mound against you.
Maybe not, we'll see.
Has anyone ever at any level?
I think one time in like freshman year of high school, like travel ball, somebody tried to charge a mound.
We got to know, how tall were you freshman year of high school?
Still probably like 6'1", 6'2". He didn't make it very far. He made about 10 feet and then changed his mind. So
half charged the mound, I guess. Jackson Rutledge is with us. Nats prospect turned big leaguer. You mentioned the start against Atlanta. I think that's the one everyone looks at and goes, okay, this could be something here. When you get back to the clubhouse that day, like, how many texts did you have? And just what was – I imagine in some way that is like a life-changing experience, that your whole goal for 20 years is to get there and do that, and you did it.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. Obviously, I had a lot of texts. My parents were in town to watch that game, which was which was awesome. So we went out and celebrated later that night, and you know, had some nice steak, and yeah, it was a incredible experience.
What's the biggest steak you've ever put down in one, at one time?
I've definitely put down multiple, probably say about 30 to 35 ounces at once was probably the biggest one.
I like that. I
don't know. You've got some. I don't know if anybody's believing you in here.
I believe it. What were some of the things you worked on in the off season going into this year?
So really working a lot on the hips, working on getting those to function better, getting a better hip load, and then being able to kind of transfer that into getting momentum down the mound, and keeping that connected with the sling, and basically just being a little bit more efficient with my mechanics. That was the big thing. And then the other thing was adding the cutter, replacing the curveball with the cutter in order to get lefties out. And, you know, I think overall it's been pretty successful.
So what does your offseason look like? Are you someone that's very analytical, working with labs? Are you something just more of a field guy? Like, what do you do in the offseason that helps you get ready for the season?
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot of both. Definitely on, like, the kind of in-between catch days, it's a lot of feel, and then it's kind of taking the analytical side of it and then being able to translate it into my own thoughts and words, and then being able to build on that every day. So certainly a lot of TrackMan data, biomechanics labs, stuff like that, but also then, you know, like I said, putting in my own words.
Tobes, it goes without saying Rutledge probably won't break camp with the big club. I mean, the rotation, you've got Gore, you've got Gray, obviously Patrick Corbin, Jake Irvin coming off the one-hit ball over five innings, the masterpiece that he threw. I think he would be a lock based on how he threw last year. And then the fifth job's probably up for grabs between Trevor Williams, who they've paid decent money to, and Zach Davies is competing with Trevor Williams as well. So I would think that Rutledge probably is ticketed for AAA or the bullpen or something. Having said that, I would be surprised if he doesn't give them a bunch of innings and help them this year in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that's going to be in the bigs pretty soon if he's not starting up there right away. I mean, this is a guy that, whether it's starting or in long relief or just making spot starts here and there, he's going to play plenty for this ball club. And just a little aside here, Grant, Jake Irvin was a guy last year in the clubhouse that when you would talk to him after starts, really great guy, always accountable. But my point is, as a reporter, you're in there holding a recorder up. My arm was always killing me after talking with Jake Irvin.
He's like 6'5".
It's going to be worse with Rutledge. Like, you're fully extending. I'm not tall. I'm 5'8". So I'm fully extending to just get my arm to have any sort of recording ability because he's so tall. He's huge.
He is huge. I'm 6'4". And even for me, extending my arm like I was. See, Toby, you can lie about your height on the radio. That's the
beauty. Yeah, I'm 5'8". I'm 5'8". I'm 5'11", you know.
I'm 6'3", about 195. That's what we're going to go with. I'll shortchange myself a lot of pounds and give myself some height.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.